Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
And there we are, looking awkward as heck as we begin this UFC Vegas 54 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. We're live on the MMA Fighting YouTube page. No Casey, no music, no chanting of songs. I know it's unfortunate, but you're just going to have to deal with dry audio and us just chitter-chattering. I am Mike Heck. We got Jed Meshew in the middle. We got AK Lee on the right-hand side. Tomorrow night, AK, UFC Vegas 54 is going down, and I know you haven't talked about this card recently at all. Not even the last 3 hours or so where we talked about it during the weigh-ins, but all the fighters made weight. And there was a lot happening, and we were going through your gymnastics scale, and you gave this one a 7.5, but you kind of just flew out with the 7.5 rating. You care to expound on the 7.5 rating? Why are you rating it that number on the AK Lee gymnastics scale?
7.5 is probably a little too high, but I'm still comfortable going over 7. I'll go over 7. I think the fact that it's only an 11 fight card is actually like a good thing. I think that's one of the things that's a feature, not a bug. Cause that was pretty harsh on the Vera Font card, if I'm not mistaken. I think I was like, that's a 6. And then it turned out to like, there's a bunch of finishes and people are like, oh, is it more than a 6? And I'm like, no, 6 was at right. Like finishes don't make a great card, as we'll find out, frankly, on Saturday. Cause I do feel like we're going to see a lot of decisions. But I think we'll see decisions that are good fights, that are like are good contests featuring a solid mixing of the martial arts. So I'm going to stand by my rating. I'll say like around a 7.2 if everything works out. I think the main event is compelling. I think a bunch of the main card fights have the potential to be exciting, like Camacho Torres and Davy Grant Smoke. I'm sure we'll talk more about those later. So I think it's a solid card. And the 11 fights, very good. Probably not too long. And if you're a discerning viewer, it's even shorter for you. So I'm into it.
Jed, you are Mr. No Gray Area, and if you think a card is not great or awful, you will tell us that it's not great or awful. But I listened to No Bets Barred. You seem to be decently okay with this card. Your thoughts on the card top to bottom as a whole, and why are you more in favor on this fight night card opposed to others?
It's a complicated question, Mike, because in a vacuum, this is a solid card. In a vacuum, I think 7.5 is an accurate scoring. You know, in the main event, we have a former UFC light heavyweight champion. That's a marquee division, and he was just the champion. It's coming off his loss of the belt, so this is not Shogun Hua in 2022, you know, headlining an event. This is a real legitimate main event. You know, my compatriot AK Lee will, I'm sure, does not believe that this is a co-main event, and I think he's probably correct, though I think there's a co-main event worthy fight on this card with Chukagian Hibas, even if that fight maybe isn't the most exciting fight. Like how that's going to actually end up playing out probably isn't the most fun. That is, to me, certainly a co-main event. It's just kind of getting buried a little bit. And the rest of the fight is, I mean, the rest of the card has pretty well-made fights. I mean, if you look at the gambling odds, biggest favorite on the card is Nick Maximov opening up at like minus 380, but everything else is pretty competitively priced because you've got a lot of good solid fights going on here. And you've got some guys with name. Michael Johnson is on this card. Ryan Spann, Ian Kutalaba is maybe not a great co-main event, but it probably will be really fun for however long it lasts. Jake Hadley is a promising prospect coming in. So there are a lot of touch points that are good. And AK said it, 11 fights. We talk about it all the time. I love an 11 fight, you know, card. That's beautiful. But it cannot earn a 7.5 for me, Mike, because this thing will not start until 7:30 Eastern time. And so even with 11 fights instead of 15 or whatever, it's still going to be done at like 1:30 in the morning. And that's harsh. That harshes my mellow. That's killing my vibe, Mike, is all I'm saying. Like, this is not a fight card that I could. You bring it to me. Is this one that you tell people to tune in? No. Not because the fights are bad, but because I'm not going to be like, hey, mom, you should stay up until 1 a.m. to watch Jan Blachowicz fight on ESPN. Like, that's just an insane thing to ask in these circumstances. So I have to give it like I'll steal AK's system. I'll give it a 6.8. It's just under a passing grade, but it would be a 7.5. You know, it'd be a solid 75 out of 100 if this was at a reasonable start time, but the time kills it.
AK, do we have a poll?
AK, do you have
we
volume?
We do. And I'll say Jed's right. This is like a perfect early, like midday, or God, in another world, like a morning, a Saturday morning MMA card. This would be perfect for it. Having it on prime time is an atrocity. Yeah, there is a poll. What is your level of excitement for UFC Vegas 54? And I rank them. I mean, guys, I should look at 4, 3, 2, 1, with 4 being the highest. But I four level of excitement. Give me that Polish power MF-er. 3 level, Rakic's kind of cool, I guess. 2 level, if I got nothing better to do, I'm in. And 1 level is crap. So that's crap with 6 A's and 3 P's.
6 A's.
And 3 P's.
Who's winning?
Give me that Polish power MF-ers up there, 47%. But if I got nothing better to do, it's also kind of close behind, 39. So it's either people are really excited, I think mostly about the main event, and otherwise just if they have nothing, you know, the TV's on, flipping around, they see UFC. Yeah, they'll leave it on.
So let's get into the main event of the evening. We got Alexander Rakic taking on Jan Blachowicz. Rakic, 1 loss in the UFC, but was it really a loss? I mean, technically it was, but most everybody except for P.T. Carroll on MMA Decision scored that fight for Alexander Rakic against Volkan Ozdemir. In the end, Ozdemir gets a controversial split decision win. We could be looking at an Alexander Rakic who is undefeated in the UFC, 100% a 1 win at worst away from fighting for a title. Now he fights the former world champion, Jed Meshew. So is this a title eliminator? Like, are we really only go that far? But we do have another big fight coming up on July 30th in this division between Magomed Ankalaev and Anthony Smith. Is the winner of this fight getting the winner of Glover Teixeira versus Jiří Procházka?
Yeah, probably. First, I just want to say shouts to PT, because I had no idea he dissented in this score. I love you, PT. You're one of my favorite people in this entire sport, and you're a hero for being so wrong. but yeah, I mean, there's just, I think we talked about it after, I forget what the event number, but after Magomed Ankalaev just had such a stinker, that he probably cost himself an opportunity to sort of shortcut his way to a title fight. And this is the end result of it here, right? Like, if Ankalaev had come in and absolutely shown out in his last performance, then gets on the mic, says some things. Even if he doesn't get on the mic and say some things, like, that's still who he is in this division, sort of what the aura around him as maybe the next guy that probably gets it done. But he and Thiago Santos like didn't fight for 25 minutes. So now it's this. Whoever wins this, depending on the outcome. I mean, if Glover beats Jiří, Maybe not, because maybe they don't want to run back Glover and Yan wins. Maybe they don't want to run back Glover and Yan immediately. But if Glover beats it and Rakic wins, or if Jiří wins, then this is going to be your title eliminator. And that's perfectly fine. Like, Rakic should be undefeated. He's one of the very best light heavyweights in the sport. And, you know, Jan is a former champion. So totally okay for this being a title eliminator.
AK, what do you think? What are the stakes in this fight? Are we looking at the winner is going to fight the winner of the title fight on June 11th? Or do you think the winner will have to... Do you think this is the beginning of maybe like a four-man contender tournament between these two guys and then the Anthony Smith Ankalaev fight on July 30th?
If Rakic gets a finish, I think it'd be very difficult to deny him a title shot. And I mean, if he kind of just wins a clear-cut decision, like a 49-46 or something, but it's just not exciting. It's like, you know, there's the feel of it just being like an elevated spar. Or, Rakic has shown, obviously, of course, that he can grapple as well. And he's used that in a lot of his fights, much to people's chagrin, because he can, you know, he kind of had a reputation for exciting striking when he came in. And now he's regrettably mixed the martial arts very, very well as he's risen up the ranks. And, you know, so we've seen the more tactical side of him. So if he wins the decision that way, I don't know. But if he just clocks Blachowicz, and I think it's very possible, by the way, that he knocks Blachowicz out, I think it's hard to deny him. And I think in a perfect world, he gets that big win. You within the next 2-3 weeks, I know the UFC doesn't move that quickly usually when it comes to title shots, especially with the champion having to. When is Teixeira? Not next weekend.
June 11th.
June 11th. Okay, so next month. So yes. So it's hard. It's hard to guarantee Rakic anything with that title fight still to be resolved. But I would like to think it would make him the number one contender if he blew through Jan. And then we have Magomed Ankalaev fighting Anthony Smith in July. So that's far enough in the future that I feel like you don't need to make it a tournament. Just say if Rakic gets an impressive finish tonight, he gets a title shot. And whoever wins the Ankalaev, if Ankalaev just runs through Anthony Smith, he gets a title shot. You could be setting up two contenders over the next 3 months. You know, it doesn't have to be either or. It's a little more tricky if Anthony Smith wins or if Jan Blachowicz wins. Again, former champion and a guy who's already had a crack at it. But I think the UFC is in a very good, flexible position with their 205 title picture right now. And again, we don't even know what's going to happen with Teixeira and Prochazka. So they got a lot of fun pieces to play around with. I think that's another reason why I like this main event so much. I don't think it's like that bad for the loser. And I don't think it's, and I think it could be potentially very, very good for the winner.
Jed, you are one half of the MMA Fighting Gambling podcast called No Bets Barred. Check it out on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. Right now, our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook have Alexander Rakic as a -190 favorite. Comeback on Jani Blacko, +160. Do you agree with this line? Are you surprised by this line?
No, I think the line's right. Honestly, it could be a little higher on Rakic. I have a bet on Rakic. I favor him to win. There's just a lot of factors. Namely, Jan is pushing 40. And I think that there's a very realistic scenario where we look back at Jan Blachowicz's career and say, wow, he had a really good run, but he actually wasn't like an all-world elite fighter, because he is not some kind of enigma, right? We've known who Jan Blachowicz is forever. He has been in the UFC for 12 years. I honestly don't know when he joined the organization, but you know, he was in KSW for years and years before that. Like, he is a well-known commodity, and sure, he has improved and some things have happened, but I think there's a really, like I said, a really realistic chance that this run, you know, he knocked out Luke Rockhold, which is less and less impressive as the days go by. Barely beat Jacare Souza, who is a career middleweight coming up and is also washed. He knocked out Corey Anderson. That one is aging beautifully. He knocked out Dominic Reyes, who we all considered a really great win, but I think there's also a world where that win ages pretty poorly, and where Reyes very similarly just had a career best performance against John Jones, but then never really ascended to those heights. And then he beat Israel Adesanya, which is a tremendous win, but he also has 30 pounds of muscle on Israel. So there's a way to look at his career and think maybe he just kind of, he rolled sevens a lot, and that's great. You can't take that away from him, but he's not like this all-time great he was an undeniable force. And I don't know if Rakic is that. I'm sure Rakic probably isn't that either, but I think he is incredibly talented and just sort of one of the best hopes for the future of this division. And so I think he is going to kind of just outwork Jan Blachowicz.
AK, are you surprised that Rakic is almost a 2-1 favorite here?
No, no. And this is, you know, I mean, but I'm the worst person to ask because I always pick Jan Blachowicz to lose. And spoiler, I'm doing it again. I know we'll get to the actual picks later. I have.
It worked last time.
It worked. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I say I always pick his fights wrong. So often I picked him to lose. I almost definitely. I have to look back at my official pick. I'm pretty sure I picked him to beat Glover. So that was wrong. But I definitely picked him to lose to Izzy. I picked him to lose to Dominic Reyes. I think the last time I picked him to win was maybe either Jacare or Luke Rockhold. I got one of those right. I got one of those right and I got one of those wrong. But he won both those fights. So either way, I'm not doing great with my Blachowicz pick. So no, for me, of course, I think Rakic almost being 2-1 is fine because I'm picking Rakic to win. And I just think, you know, he's a younger fighter and I think he's trending upwards. I think he has the skill set that to neutralize Blachowicz's best strengths and to implement his own game plan. It's just on paper, everything to me makes sense that he should win this fight handily. And it's just a question of whether by decision or whether he can finish, you know, a former UFC light heavyweight champion. But yeah, no, the line is fine. And I mean, I can't wait to make our picks because I'm just, I don't know how I just keep embarrassing myself with these Jan Blachowicz picks.
So I see people asking questions. Some people are asking them multiple times in a row. Save them till the end. I'm producing and doing this without Casey here. So when I ask for them, send them in. We'll get to as many as we can. Go ahead, Jen.
Oh, just very briefly. Somebody just hit a buggy choke in Bellator. So that's freaking savage.
Nice.
That's really cool. That's it. Just wanted to say that.
Oh, Oliver Endcamp. He's good.
Yeah.
He is good.
Just Endcamp just buggy choke Leminger. This is wild. Wow.
It's a good win. Leminger's really good. Very strong contender in that division, but just got buggy choked. So not a good day, not a good trip to London for Mr. Leminger. So, AK, you're picking Rakic. How does he get it done? Will it be a finish? Will this be a decision? How does this work?
When is the last time? Let me see. Back-to-back decision wins. Head kick of Jimmy Manoa, and then there's that split against. So three decisions in a row. Friends of positivity here. Like I said, I set my score pretty high for this card, or at least higher than I think most people would, or in the 7-7.5 range. And I think part of that, like, it will become close to reaching that score because the main event will deliver. I think we get an entertaining fight. It might start off a little slow, but I think it'll turn into a good fight. Rakic by late knockout, second round.
Late second round knockout. Jed? Your prediction, I believe you are going with Rakic. If I listen to the podcast correctly, how does he get it done?
I'm taking Rakic by decision. Jan, for like I said, Jan is getting up there in years, but he's only been knocked out twice. And for as good as I think Rakic is, Thiago Santos is a substantially more powerful puncher. And the other one was a TKO because Sokaju like blew his knee out or Jan like got his knee busted up by Sokaju. So he's really tough. He's a really durable dude. And Rakic is not like a huge, huge hitter. So I think it's just going to be a decision.
I'm with you, Jed. Rakic by decision. I don't think it's a spirited affair by any stretch of the imagination, but if we compare it to Bader Kongo 2 or Nama Yunus Esparza 2, we might be looking at like a fight of the year candidate, but yeah.
What are you talking about? I've blocked both of those fights from my memory. Well, what happened?
They were fights, as AK would so eloquently puts it.
But were they? But were they?
It was a scheduled fight. Two people were in the cage of the referee. I don't know how much more I could say about this, but looks like all three of us are taking Alexander Rakic to continue the streak, possibly go on and fight for a title.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
The co-main event, or second-to-last fight here, as AK likes to say. We got Ryan Spann versus Iwan Cuchulaba. We got Lewis Smolka versus Davey Grant. Fun one at 135. By the way, Lewis Smolka with the Elvis Presley hairstyle, digging it. Absolutely digging it. Kaitlyn Chookagian, Amanda Ribas. I see some questions coming in about that fight, so we'll address those for sure. Frank Camacho looking like a couple Billy after a couple years away. Taking on Manuel Torres, who's making his UFC debut. And then Jake Hadley making his UFC debut against Alan Nascimento. So, Jed, let us begin with you. Of those six main card fights outside of the main event, which one has your attention the most?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think there's still a lot of different ways you can approach this. I'm going to take, I'll give AK the most fun fight, because why not? The one that has my attention the most is going to be Jake Hadley versus Alan Nascimento, just because Hadley has a lot of promise as a flyweight. Like, this is a Cage Warriors champion. That is right? Cage Warriors?
Yes.
Dude can kind of do a little bit of everything. He has shown some weaknesses, though, in Cage Warriors, you know? But he's still young, still developing. Alan Nascimento is a solid fighter, like, not the world's greatest fighter, but he's got some physical attributes, and he's a tricky guy to get in there with. I think it's a really appropriate test for Hadley kind of coming in. And yeah, this is the fight that has probably the most stakes to it, even with Chookagian Ribas being on this card, just because Kaitlyn Chookagian's never going to get another title fight unless she beats every single person alive. So the Hadley one is the one that makes, like, that is the one that's going to have the most repercussions down the line, I think.
AK, what say you? You can only pick one of these fights to watch that's not the main event on this six-fight main card, which starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. Ah, what are you picking?
Main card only.
Main card only.
Yeah. Because I did want to say, I'm looking at the card again as, you know, I was getting ready to answer the question. I do like the card as a whole. This, like, it's one of those cards where every fight for me has at least, like, a couple of hooks, like two hooks each. Not like big hooks, but at least a couple. On the main card, I think Jed assumed I was going to say Davey Grant, Lewis Smolka.
Sure
I
did.
I think everyone should look forward to that fight. Fight of the night written all over, or at least a performance of the night. Someone just, like, cracking to the dude or getting a highlight reel submission, something. Both guys are finishers, but both guys can also bang and go, like, hard through rounds. So really exciting. But I want to lean into, and I talked about it quite a bit on the weigh-in show, I'm very excited about the return of Frank Camacho. I don't know if they're putting him on the main card because his story recently, you know, he had to overcome so much to get back. And again, there was an accident, which thankfully, I mean, when it happened, it wasn't like a, you know, a life-threatening thing. But still, you know, as a fighter, you get that kind of accident, you always wonder, is the guy going to come back? Is he going to be the same? And so it's just great to see him back. We talked about this morning, Mike. He looked really, really good in this guy. I think he's in better shape, I think, than we've seen him before. He's had trouble making 155 before, but he looked super, super fit today. So good for him. And again, talk about guys who are always exciting. I mean, Frank wants to go in there. He just wants to brawl. against his better wisdom. He's going to go in there and he's going to throw hands. Manuel Torres, a little bit more versatile. I don't know if someone who's necessarily going to want to go in and just smash with Frank Camacho, but if he does, I mean, then there's your other candidate for fight of the night, because again, that's just how these guys are going to go. So just really happy to see him back. You know, we don't always shine a light on these sort of like nice little happy stories in MMA. But sometimes they become very unhappy quickly. Like when Matt Schnell came back, finally got back in the cage last week and was put away in what, like under 3 minutes, but at least got a bonus at the end. So for Frank Camacho again, hey, win or lose, whatever happens, cool to see him back. I think it's gonna be a great fight. And overall, just, yeah, I think a pretty solid main card.
Yeah, he looked tremendous on the scale. He looked tremendous. It was so, so friendly, as he always is during the face-off. To me, you both picked very good ones. Chikagian Hibas is a good one. I'm going to go with Lewis Smolka and Davy Grant. This is just from an excitement standpoint, because I feel like every time Lewis Smolka fights, we have so many questions, because we've had so many high hopes for Lewis Smolka over the years. Like, can he live up to his potential? Can he reach that ceiling that we sort of created for him during this first stint in the UFC? And there'll be one fight where he lives up to the expectations, and then the next fight, he'll either miss weight or there's some kind of dud inside of the octagon. But I feel like Davy Grant will bring out the best in Lewis Smolka and vice versa. I think this is a tremendously made matchup, and I'm looking forward to it. It'll be violence personified. I like Davy Grant to go in and get it done, but still, I think it's going to be very exciting and until the fight ends at some point. So, like the fight.
That's the best fight. Like, that's going to be the most fun fight on the merits. Since he's been back, Smolka is 6-for-6 in finisher. He's get or get got since he's been back. He is, and he hasn't seen the third round even. He is getting tapped or knocked out, or he is tapping somebody or knocking them out and within two. So it's going to be the most fun.
And now we head to the prelims, which, if you look at it from paper to paper, fighter to fighter, matchup to matchup, pretty strong prelim card, AK. What's the low-key banger on this UFC Vegas 54 card, and why? You're muted.
I love the opener. I love the Maximal Petrosky fight. Like, I don't know if it's super exciting. I just think it's a great logical piece of matchmaking for both guys. I'm a little surprised Maximov is such a... I'm very high on Petrosky. I'm a little surprised Maximov is so heavily favored, the biggest favorite on the card, actually. I guess there's definitely some cardio issues for Petrosky, and Maximov has shown he can go the distance. So that might be what people are thinking. But I will go with Tetsuro Taira and Carlos Candelario. I'm just really excited with the debut of Taira. Again, there's a lot we don't know about him. He's only 22 years old. He's faced experienced opponents over in Japan. How good are these fighters actually anymore? Because some of them are like, he fought some guys that are like 30, 40 fights into their career, probably past their prime. So you can give him credit to fighting guys, again, who have been in there a lot, but also guys who probably are past their best days. But yeah, he finishes fights. There's just a lot of potential there. It could be another exciting name on in the 125-pound division. It's supposed to happen last week. I was really looking forward to it. I'm glad that it just got posted. They, you know, they just had to push it back and ended up on this card on Saturday. So I, as much as I like, again, all five cards on the prelims, I think have some sort of storyline, have some sort of hook. I'll go with sort of the unknown here. I'm going to go with the unknown of Taira and Candelario, and I think we see a big finish for Taira.
It's a great pick right there. Two debuting fighters, a lot of hype behind Taira, and Candelario is an absolute grinder. So, Jed, what's the low-key banger for you?
I mean, the best fight on the undercard, I don't know if it's a low-key banger, but the best fight on the prelims is Araújo Andrea Lee. I mean, they both have very high work rates. Araújo has known to have some gas tank issues, but she's a really good grappler. So the style matchup there is like, maybe Lee can just kind of survive the first round and then start to overtake her with her superior cardio. Andrea Lee has been ascending. She's looked so great her last two times out. The only problem with this fight at all is that Andrea Lee likes to key out when she punches, and that's really annoying to watch. But other than that, that fight's awesome. So I think that's the best fight on the prelims.
And if you miss No Bets Bar, there is the Kia
parlay. Yeah.
Look, expound.
We have the two biggest Kia-ers in mixed martial arts competing on the same card, Andrea Lee and the godmother of Kia-ing, Caitlin Chikagian. So They are both slight favorites. Chookagian's a bit bigger of a favorite, but you parlay them together, you get some nice plus money, and you can ride the Kia parlay all the way to victory.
It's not a bad option right there. I like the Araújo Lee fight. Very interesting, especially if he gets to the second half of the fight. Can Araújo's gas tank hold? Can she keep that same energy from the beginning to the end? Can Andrea Lee start quickly, or at least stop the pretty quick start of Araújo? So I love that fight a lot. I'm going to go with John Jaroba, Angela Hill. There's no way that fight's not incredibly fun and incredibly controversial at the end, because it'll probably be a split decision that we all think Angela Hill wins, and she'll probably lose a split decision to Verna Jandiroba. But that fight's just going to be tremendously fun, and I can't wait for it. So that is this card. It's just a very solid showing. Go ahead.
Can we talk a little bit more about Michael Johnson, Alan Patrick? Like, this is, guys, someone has to win.
Someone does.
One of these guys.
No, actually, that's not true.
As we learned in Alan Patrick's last fight, that's not true.
Yeah.
But fingers crossed, someone. Alan Patrick, 38 years young, has not won a fight since February 2018. Over 4 years now. That was a unanimous decision over Demir Hadzovic in Belém, Brazil. They were still holding events in Brazil. Michael Johnson has not won a fight at lightweight. Okay, well, I say
has not won a fight since 2018 either.
Since he beat the GOAT, Artem Lobov, in a fight that he missed weight. So again, that fight doesn't even really count. And Artem gave him his money back for the missed weight, like the fine money. So it really doesn't count. I mean, just, you know, erase the whole thing. And hasn't won at lightweight since. Well, I don't even need to say it. Do you remember who he beat at lightweight? It's a super memorable win. Do you remember who the last person he beat was?
Was Dustin Poirier the last person he beat?
That is the last lightweight. That's the last time that he fought a lightweight and won. That was September 2016. Knocked him out.
Johnson's a weirdo.
Right? Knocked him out in 95 seconds, Dustin Poirier. So, but yeah, either way.
He has wins over Dustin Poirier. Uh-huh. And like
Edson Barbosa.
He was the dude who delivered the one loss to Tony.
Tony Ferguson. Tony, like, went.
It's unbelievable. His highs are as high as anybody, but he mostly lives in the gutter, and his lows are not good.
Like, his UFC record is 11-13. Competing.
Honestly, that's a little bit better than I would have thought.
Remember, he was the guy that wobbled Khabib. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah. His highs, quote unquote, so high.
Yeah. So I mean, high. There was some highness going on there.
Someone has to win. Someone has to win.
I feel like the takeaway from that fight is not Michael Johnson wobbled him, but Khabib beat Michael Johnson up so badly that he stopped paying attention to beating Michael Johnson's ass and started telling him, "Hey man, you got to quit. you just give up. I don't want to do this to you anymore. I need to fight for the title, sir."
Can I read this comment from our man, our loyal Otno listener, Toke Gerding Jensen? He said, if these Kia fights were in the PFL, in Jed Meshew's PFL, the smart cage would measure the decibel levels of the fighters.
They sure would.
I like that. Thank you.
And wait till the damage bar comes with the Kia bar. Yes. Man, so many fun.
I feel like the Kia bar has to take away from your damage bar. It's energy you're using, the Kia.
Oh, losing your own Kia. Maybe
you're winning judge points. The judges are enamored by the Kia, but you yourself are using more energy than you need to.
Wow, you're strategic use.
Yes. So now is probably the time to submit your questions. So let's submit them. We'll pull them up. We'll discuss for, I don't know, next 10 or 15 minutes or so.
David, Remember, don't you worry. We're going to get the damage meter. PFL's coming to Atlanta next month. I'm going to all the shows. I'm going to make it happen.
You have links a solemn promise. YouTube.
Can you put links in YouTube? Because I want to throw the link to the article we did when we did Miss Fist about the promotion that put the health bars in. I don't think you can. I'm gonna try here.
Yeah, but you try.
It was. Oh, you can. Okay, sweet. So I'm gonna pin that. If you guys want to know what health bars and an MMA promotion look like, I'm gonna pin this right now to the YouTube. And promotion did try it, and it was straight up ridiculous.
Yeah, but they didn't have the smart cage as the underlying basis with which to work.
You're right. You're right. This is true. They were doing this like flying blind, like a normal cage, just flying blindly, did not integrate it into the smart cage form. Yes, you're right.
I'm not kidding. I legitimately have spent a lot of time figuring out how to exactly make a damage bar. And I think that you can do it with, because the PFL has all these stupid like measurements or whatever. So you could do it. Like I've got a proposal. Ray Sefo, talk to me. Is Ray Sefo still in charge of the PFL?
Yes.
Yeah, Ray Sefo. When I'm here in Atlanta, let's go have lunch, make a thing happen.
We just spoke about him, Jed Meshew. Is Michael Johnson fighting for his UFC job? He does have 4 losses in a row. If he goes out and loses to Alan Patrick tomorrow, is he done?
I don't know. Probably not. They seem to like him. But I also wouldn't be entirely surprised if this was like, yeah, if I could see instead of him fighting for his job, this him fighting for his career. Like I could see him coming out of this one and saying, you know what? I just got to bounce. It should be. If he loses this, the UFC should part ways with him. He can go to Eagle FC. He can fight Diego Sanchez and Kevin Lee, and that'll be fine. But I get the sense that they still like Michael Johnson. So I this is not where I'm strong though. Mike, am I wrong? Am I right? Does the UFC like him?
I think so. It seems like it, right? I mean, they keep trying to get him fights. I think they like him. I think I think his name, despite the record, still holds some value. Like it means something if you beat Michael Johnson, even on a 4-fight losing streak. I'm surprised at this particular matchmaking, but I like the way AK is selling it. He's selling it better than any promotion has sold any fight this weekend. Somebody has to win. That's the way you sell this fight. But again, Michael Johnson's just, it's not even a gatekeeper role at this point, especially if he loses. He's just the guy that's going to put over young, exciting talent. Like someone comes off the Contender Series and has a violent KO. You could throw him in a debut if you want to push him fast against a guy like Michael Johnson. So I think there's still some value to his name, at least.
So that's correct. But that is not what they have done with him. He has not fought young, emerging talent. And it's so weird. Like, he fought Josh Emmett and Stevie Ray and Clay Guida. Like, you're not putting these people over. What are we doing with him? I don't understand it. It feels like they are trying to get him a win, and he just steadfastly refused to be victorious.
Yeah, Thiago Moises, Clay Guida, Stevie Ray, Josh Emmett, the 4 losses are in the streak. Maybe this is it, AK. Maybe this is the one. But if he loses to Alan Patrick, if the answer to the question, who is going to actually win a fight here, if the answer is not Michael Johnson, will he have another chance?
I'm sorry, repeat the question. I had another Michael Johnson. I'm sorry, repeat that, Mike. I'm also dealing with some troll in the thing.
If Michael Johnson loses, is he done?
With the UFC?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. Listen, he has a win over Artem Lobov. And that has a lot of currency. I think they keep him around. I think as long as it isn't as long as the fight isn't if the fight turns out somehow it'd be like a complete stinker, which is really not the case with either guy. I don't think either guy has ever really been in just horrible, horrible fights. Then again, I had to think of the whole Michael Johnson resume, but I think his entertainment level is pretty good, right? It's pretty consistent. So I think they'll be fine. I think actually both guys might stick around. Patrick is a little bit older and they might want to cut bait with him, but And what I was going to say about the whole matchup was, this is where I miss the UFC having subtitles to their, remember, like, you know, UFC, UFC 65, Bedlam, you know what I mean? Because this would have been like UFC Vegas 54, someone has to win. And it's like, if you don't like that, then you don't like NBA basketball. Let me tell you that right now. So I wish that they would bill it that way. This could have, you know, tell you something. This could have been a co-main event if they had sold it that way. This would have been an AK Lee approved co-main event if they had sold it as the fight that someone has to win.
So the fight itself does not merit the spot, but if it was promoted accurately, it would merit that spot?
I'd make an exception. It would not fit any of the normal criteria that I have for like a proper co-main event, but I can be sold. I can be bamboozled and tricked into putting that title on a certain fight.
What a fun UFC poster that would have been for this card if we had a someone has to win co-main event, two small guys, both fists going through fire, and it just says someone's got to win in the middle of it. I like it. Jed, does Cameron Chikane get a title shot with the win?
No. I already alluded to this. She never gets a title shot again. Well, one, I mean, Amanda Ribas is not a flyweight, so she just doesn't get a title shot with a win. Like, she's beating up a strawweight. Congratulations. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, this would be, what, her fourth in a row, right? So
this would be five, and I think she's already won four in a row, I think. So this would be five in a row.
Is it really? Wow, good for her.
She's, oh, no, you're right. Sorry, three, four, four, five. Okay. Sorry, she won four, yeah. Four for her last five. She's won four
yeah,
last five.
Yeah, because I was saying the Andrade obliteration looms in there. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, you know, look, that's not a knock on Kayla Chikagian. She's only lost to people who are really good and then randomly lost a, I believe, wasn't a great decision to Jessica Eye, but I won't pretend to remember that fight all that well. But otherwise, she lost Jessica Andrade and Valentina Shevchenko, two of the best five women fighters alive. So that's, you know, no shame in that. But yeah, the manner in which she lost to Valentina Shevchenko means she is going to have to fight every human being on the planet to get another crack at her, or get far more compelling on the microphone. And I don't feel like that's going to happen. So she's just got to keep beating people. And she seems up to it. She keeps taking fights with everybody and just keeps on fighting them. So she is the rightful second best flyweight in the world. She has cemented that with wins over basically all of the other people at the top of the division. But she needs two more wins. Would be my guess. She wins this and she beats like Manon Fiorot or somebody else, like somebody on the rise. So she has really taken away all other possible contenders for Shevchenko. That's the way she gets back to a title fight.
I think the road is way longer than that. But you probably agree. You're trying to be positive, yeah. Jed. You're trying to be positive.
Well, no, if she just beats the other rising contenders, Shevchenko has to fight somebody. Mm-hmm. And so right.
She beats all of them for sure.
Yeah. So if she wins this. If she wins this, really, there's because Shevchenko's fighting, is that 275 they're doing the Santos fight?
Santos, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. is that 275? So after she beats Santos, Shevchenko will have beaten everyone in the UFC's, basically the division. And so then she's going to either have to move up to 135, which is currently, maybe that's what happens. But if she does, then Chukagian's going to get the title shot if they're just Shevchenko's going to leave. But
I mean, there's,
I think she's
Andrea Lee. That's true. That's the other scenario. Yeah.
There's Andrea Lee. If she beats Araujo, she's there. There's Casey O'Neill's going to be out for a little while, but we got Macy Barber fighting Jessica Eye. There's a lot of meat on the boat. Alexa Grasso. There's others.
I just don't think any of Alexa Grasso or Andrea Lee are, if Andrea Lee wins, are the closest, but I'm not sure you can bump them over where Chikagian is for a title fight. So it would just be if Andrea Lee wins, she will probably have to fight Chikagian. And if Chikagian beats Andrea Lee, then it's just shit, man. I don't know. Chevy truck has to roll over somebody. Might as well be the number one ranked fighter in the division again.
Yeah. I said earlier today on the weigh-in show that I think it's there is a path to Chikagian, but she has to beat again another veteran, probably Andrea Lee or something like that, plus two of the Manel Firo, Casey O'Neill, Aaron Blanchfield, up and coming Trevor Rich. She has to be two of those girls. So if she does all that, more power to her, give her the title shot. I would be very shocked if she was able to run through that gauntlet. If anyone at flyweight besides Shevchenko was kind of just able to run through that gauntlet, really, really, really tough to do. But that's the hoops that Chikagian has to jump through that I think other flyweights are not going to have to jump through to get another crack, unfortunately.
And I will say just very briefly, it is kind of garbage. Because she's never going to beat Shevchenko, but I knew that before they fought the first time, and she still deserved it. The reality is, after her loss to Shevchenko, Chikagian has beaten Cynthia Calvillo, a hot shit prospect for the division, Viviana Rujo, hot shit prospect, and Jennifer Maya, who's the number three ranked fighter in the division.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe even number two, according to the UFC, something like that. Those are the types of wins. That's a Robert Whittaker-esque run post his loss. It was equally devastating loss, frankly. and he earned his way back. So if she wins this one here, again, it's over a strawweight. If she wins this one, some four in a row, and then she takes out Andrea Lee or Manofiero or somebody, she may not get it, but she frankly would deserve it. Like that's doing the work to get back to the spot you're supposed to be in.
Hey, listen, great points. On the flip side, Amanda Ribas at our media day scrum said, if I win, I should be fighting for the title next. So,
I mean, if she wins, she will. I bet she would.
I think she'd be close. She would definitely have a discussion. But again, Misha Tate's fighting Lauren Murphy July 2nd. If Misha Tate wins that fight, she's fighting for
you're the right. Winner. I forgot that Misha Tate is about to be sacrificed on the altar of Shevchenko. Yep.
But if she loses to Lauren Murphy, which absolutely could happen. Well, you think Misha Tate is that much better than Lauren Murphy?
Yeah.
Come on.
I think Lauren Murphy is a bad Misha Tate. She's dollar store. Hey, Misha Tate.
Misha Tate's been out of the game for a long time. What was Misha's comeback?
She's been back in the game for a long time.
She's what was her comeback?
Like two fights.
What was her comeback? What were her comeback fights though?
Comeback
Renault and Vera.
And then
Renault was. I mean, that with respect to Mary Renault, that was a setup for Tate to just truck her.
Yeah, and Vera probably 50-45.
And the Vera fight, she lost. So what are we?
That's a bantamweight.
That's fine. What are we saying? Like, why? What? I don't know what the base. I think that's a lot very disrespectful to Lauren Murphy. I don't think Misha Tate coming off of a 1-1 after a 5-year layoff is that much better than Lauren Murphy. I think that's a little crazy.
Yeah, I think Misha Tate is substantially better than Lauren Murphy. Misha Tate, who submitted Holly Holm to become the bantamweight champion, I believe that she is substantially better than Lauren
Murphy. 6 years ago.
Those career highs are way higher than Lauren Murphy's.
Doesn't matter. I don't care what the career highs are. She's not at her career high right now. She's far from it. What are we talking about?
You don't even know that that's true.
I do know.
Listen, hey, it's May 13th. That fight is July 2nd. We will have much more to talk about that fight. Speaking of 25ers, let's talk about something that is happening tomorrow. Which flyweight will have a better debut, Tyra or Hadley, AK Lee? And by the way, we could throw Candelario in this conversation as well.
No, we can't. No. No, we can't. Candelario is on my poop list right now, all right? Because for anyone who wasn't watching this morning, the great Jose Youngs and the great Mike Heck and I were doing the live weigh-in show. Mr. Candelario, contender series signing, makes, you know, his first UFC weigh-ins is fine. Comes in probably about 20 minutes left to weigh in. He's half a pound over. We're in Las Vegas, so it's fine. He gets medical care to take another hour. But because we're waiting for Carlos Candelario, our 2-hour weigh-in show could be even shorter if everyone weighs in early enough. Our 2-hour weigh-in show becomes well over 3 hours. I think 3 hours and 15 minutes because we have to wait for, I don't know, he gets all this extra time. So Carlos Candelario has to shave off a half a pound, and he makes it. Credit to him. Well done, Carlos. You made weight for your UFC debut, but I'm very displeased with having to wait for him. So I'm not the right person to answer this question. I'm very biased. I think Tyra is going to knock him out. And I don't know if I think that because I know what's going to happen, or I'm just at this point rooting for Tyra out of spite. So Tyra is my answer, I guess.
Jed, what do you think? I think this is actually a great question.
I think Tyra's going to have the better debut because he has, no disrespect to Candelario, I think he's got a simpler test ahead of him than Alan Nascimento is for Jake Hadley. So that's just pretty simple for me.
I think Hadley's going to be the correct answer. I think he will get a finish probably in the second round. I think Tyra's going to, there's a chance Tyra just lands some crazy flying knee into a quick sub right away. It's very possible, but Carlos is really tough. He's really durable, and we'll see. We'll see. I feel like Candelario has been through the rigors of the sport a little bit more than Tyra has. So I will go with Hadley, but this is a really good question. It could go either way. Let's play a little betting game. AK, we'll start with you. Over under 3.5 finishes tomorrow.
Oh, I saw that. I'm not going to lie. I saw that before, and I was trying to cheat and look, figure it out ahead of time. But that's a great number, that 3.5, because it makes this really tough to answer. I think that's like the perfect line. I want to say, so I said already, I think the main event, I think the co-main event is one of those, like, it should be either an exciting finish or super like chaotic and not necessarily great fight. But I will say someone gets finished in the co-main event. So that's 2. Oh boy. And then from there, I think we have a lot of competitive fights. I'm gonna go over because I think, like I said, I think I'll say Hadley and I think Tyra. But yeah, I'm really going just over. I think like four or five tops, so just under half of the card. And really, I feel like this feels like the safer number. So just over. Jed, I don't know how you feel about it.
Oh, I'm taking over. I think there are three pretty close to locks. Maybe not locks, but three fights I feel very confident on the main card that are going to go over. And then you just have to get one on the prelims. And I think that there are a number of fights that have opportunities. Michael Johnson, Alan Patrick, that could very easily finish. Tyra Candelario, Maximov Petrovsky could finish. So I'm going to take the over. Because I think Span Kutalaba, Grant Smolka, and Camacho Torres, I think those are very... I feel very good that those are not going to the scorecards.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
I mean, hell, Hadley Nascimento could easily be a finish as well.
Yep. Yeah, I'll go with over. Why not? Feeling positive. Feeling positive. Where is this comment? Nivathan Kugan Anthem. I have to say good. It like a ring announcer, or else sure. I'm gonna mess it up.
That's my guy. So that's my guy in up in Markham.
There you go, buddy. There's one I saw, and then we'll end it here. It's a Bellator question, but I feel like it's a conversation starter.
You got to.
If MVP beats Logan Storley in the main event, Jed Meshew, how far does he move up in the MMA fighting global rankings?
Well, let me pull up the MMA fighting global rankings right
now. Yeah.
Because I have no idea where he currently sits.
I think he's around 13, I want to say. I haven't really high. I think it's my ranking, I think, is one of the things that's like has him.
I think even, I have him at like there. I think I have him at like 14 or 15.
Do you? Okay. I
have him in my ranking, but strictly because of the Lima win.
He is 13. Yeah, I mean that's it really. He is 13 overall consensus.
Yeah, I mean if he beats Logan Storley, wouldn't be shocked if he bumped in front of Ray Cooper. It will depend. If he goes out and really impresses against Storley, I could see him moving up to the Stephen Thompson sort of top 10-ish area in our rankings collectively. But that's, you know, he's that's his absolute upper limit is like 10 or 11.
Let me dive into this. First of all, there's going to be some people who are going to be listening to this preview show tomorrow and by then, or even later today, by then Bellator would already be over. So I am going to act as if Michael Venom Page already won. Boy, that was amazing when he took out Storley with that flying knee in like 4 seconds or 3 seconds, beating Masvidal's, you know, major league record. My goodness, what an incredible finish. So this is like best case scenario for Venom Page just runs through him. But even then, boy, I don't know how much I can move him up because, yeah, I'm like you. I kind of just gave him, like, I had Lima high when they fought. And I think the decision, like, I mean, the fight sucked, but I didn't think like the decision was egregious. So I had no problem giving him Lima's spot. But for me in my rankings, I have Masvidal above him and Luque and Thompson. Those are the three names right above him. I you'd probably put him above Masvidal. But I mean, if you told me if Masvidal and MVP fought, who would I pick? Probably pretty strongly leaning towards Masvidal. So factoring that in, it's hard for me to give him that spot. He might be stuck at 11 for me. Again, I already have him pretty high. Three people on our panel don't have him ranked at all. So if he does get a spot, then that'll help a lot. But he'll have to get past names like Rachmanov, Soldich in KSW, Ray Cooper. So does a win like this put him... Mm-hmm. Ray Cooper might drop off after last week's, you know, what happened last week. So he might make an appearance on some of our panelists' lists, get him a few points. Boy, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. It's really hard for him to move up that much. I will say, just doing some math roughly in my head, if he wins, he will rise up one spot and take Ray Cooper's spot. Ray Cooper is number 12 in our rankings. Ray Cooper obviously had a really bad weight miss and then and lost to a very good fighter in Leal. So Ray's going to drop down, if not out. I'm not sure how badly that hurt him peel's rankings, and just almost by default,
MVP. He's going to drop him out of mine.
Yeah, and then so MVP will move up with a win, probably. I think one spot the most. I don't think he cracks the top 11 or 12 or anything.
I could see him taking Chiesa up, but
sure, yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's not even in my rankings right now. I'll throw that out there. because I have Roberto Soldic at number 15, and yeah. Roberto Soldic would absolutely murk.
Sure.
MVP.
And he has a great MVP resume. Plus. He has a great resume. So I have, honestly,
I
don't know if
I have Soldic at 13.
That's good. Then I have Rachmaninoff. There's no, I mean, come on now.
I know.
Magny, Cooper. I mean, Cooper might fall out after that weight miss and the loss.
Mike, I'm so proud of your rankings.
Yeah.
You don't have Moss at all. What a hero you are.
Yep, no Moss at all.
No Moss.
So, yeah, he'll probably return to my rankings if he beats Logan Storley. Yeah, and maybe he gets 14, 15. I don't know. We'll see. But that's all rankings or whatever. All right, I think we have talked about this card enough today, AK. We have talked about this card for the last 4 hours. We talked about this card a little bit on my show. So basically, we're going to blend it all together. I've been talking about this card for 6 hours today. So yep. I think I've done my part. And we're going to talk about it more tomorrow. The latest start time ever for a People's Pre-Fight show. 7 p.m. Eastern time. We'll kick off the People's Pre-Fight show because Jed's already yawning. That's what's going to happen. 7:30 Eastern prelims, and then the main card, 10 p.m. Eastern, 6 fights on that main card, plus Jose's in Vegas, so of your all of your press conference fun right after, and then the post-fight show after that. So rest the vocal cords, gentlemen.
And then, Mike, we should just do a live. Otno on Sunday again, because just treat this like a pay per view, because you know they're putting it on at the same time. So, right, we should live on Sunday, Mike, 11 a.m. live on Sunday. No, we didn't.
No.
You want to do that for UFC Vegas 54?
No. Although that will probably be a very short show for us, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
We'll have to think about it. We'll think about it. I know people are quite happy with the live show, but I also think there's some merit to just saving it for special occasions, if you will. But we are done. For AK, for Jed Bashu, I am Mike Heck. Enjoy Bellator. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, right back here for the People's Pre-Fight Show. Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.